Have you ever been scrolling Facebook and you're looking through your news feed and all of a sudden there's this post from someone that you knew in high school and they've just gotten a new job or they just married someone or had a kid or something's happened in their life and your immediate reaction is like, no way, like not them. Like this can't be the job that they got or this can't be the person they married or I cannot imagine them as a parent because the framework you've built in your mind of who they are goes back to who you knew them to be in high school. That the only information you have is Instagram and social media posts of them and who you knew them to be in high school. See, we build these boxes to keep track of information. We put people in these boxes that we create based on the information that we have in order to process things faster, in order to categorize, in order to be able to slap a label on things, to think faster so we're not building information from the ground up every time we talk to someone. We do it with things, we do it with ideas, we do it with people. But the problem with building these boxes is they're rarely accurate. They're usually based on outdated information or just our personal experience with someone rather than the full big picture of who they are. We do the same thing with Jesus. We create these boxes based on our personal experience, based on who we knew him to be. Let me give you an example. See these pictures on the screen here? You will feel more or less comfortable with either of these depictions of who Jesus was based on your church upbringing, based on the box that you've built, that you've placed Jesus in, and who you believe him to be. Let me give you a few more examples. These five boxes. I'll start with what I call the Sunday school story box. And this is the box that we put Jesus in when we think of Jesus. It just goes back to maybe we were brought up in church and Jesus is really no more than a storybook character. Like we know a bunch of stories about him. We know a bunch of facts and information, but it's never really something we've allowed ourselves to see him as someone that we have a relationship with, let alone someone we submit our lives to. Maybe for you, Jesus is in the religious grandma box. And what I mean by that is maybe your grandma is much more religious than you, and when you think of Jesus, you think of your grandma, you think of the picture of Jesus she has up in her dining room, you think of the time she talks about how she saw Billy Graham in 1963, and your idea of Jesus, this box you've built, has all of that baggage to it. Maybe Jesus is in the he probably didn't exist box, where I mean, you know that the stories about this guy are going around and there are Christians who are really excited about who Jesus was, but you kind of question the reliability of that. You don't know whether it actually happened. You wouldn't believe that he raised from the dead. He probably didn't even exist. And so you just don't take the time to think deeply about who Jesus actually is or let alone let that shape how you live or who you are. Maybe Jesus is in the some wise teacher box, where along the ranks of Gandhi and Confucius and Muhammad and the Buddha and other people throughout history who have been these great teachers and have helped shape humanity, Jesus is just another one of those. And he had some great things to say, but his influence on your life right now probably isn't significant. If you've grown up in the church or maybe you call yourself a Christian, maybe Jesus for you is in the I already know all about him box, where probably rightly we've put together a bunch of information based on what we've been taught in sermons or our Sunday school experience or our own Bible reading. And we have this, what we think is a really fleshed out picture of Jesus that we're really hesitant to add anything to. That this is who Jesus is as I understand him to be. Anything outside that box makes me really uncomfortable. The question we need to ask ourselves today is, what kind of box have I put Jesus in? And what if he is and can do more than I'm letting myself believe because of that box that I've put Jesus in? During our time today, we're going to look at what it means for us to unbox Jesus from these boxes we've placed him in, and to let him shape our understanding of who he is, so that we can have a fuller picture, so that we could know him and encounter what it means to know him in our everyday life. We're going to look at a story from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, it's also in the Gospel of Mark, in the Gospel of Luke. But this is a story where Jesus comes back to his hometown of Nazareth, where people have all kinds of ideas about him. This is Matthew 13, verses 54 to 58. If you've got a Bible with you, feel free to follow along. Coming to his hometown, Jesus began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." And he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. Let me give us a little context for what's going on here. So Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth after coming back from Egypt. And even though Jesus' ministry started taking place where he was baptized, he started teaching and doing these signs, he gathered these disciples around him. Even though he grew up in Nazareth, he was doing most of those things in towns and regions in Galilee, but not in Nazareth, in other towns. And so the people of Nazareth, they're hearing these rumors. They're hearing these stories about, you know, this local boy who has grown up and is starting to make these great claims, is starting to perform these signs and miracles, who's teaching these things in an authoritative way, like he knows what he's talking about. And no doubt there's the hype that's starting to build. And as soon as Jesus and his disciples return to Nazareth, when Jesus goes into the synagogue and starts teaching, there's this expectation of, what's he going to say? What's this boy that we have known since he was young going to be saying to us? Who does he think he is? And we read from this story that Jesus, I mean, he starts teaching, he starts reading from the Torah. And if we read Luke's version of the story, this is when Jesus kind of full on says, reading from Isaiah, that the kingdom of God has come with me. Like, these words are fulfilled in your hearing, like big claims. And we read from this story that people are initially amazed. They're gobsmacked at what Jesus is saying, but then they remember who he is, and the skepticism starts coming in. There's this offense that they have of him making these claims, and we read that they get angry. In Luke's version of the story, they try to throw him off a cliff. The box that the people of Nazareth had built and put Jesus in was one where, I mean, he's the boy who grew up down the street. He's the guy who took over his father's carpentry business. His mom's name's Mary, and she buys bread from us. Like, his sons, or his brothers, Mary's sons, they work with us every day. His sisters, they married our sons. Like, we're familiar with the family. We know what's gone on. But they won't allow what Jesus is saying to really hit them because they know where his roots are. We sometimes call this tall poppy syndrome, where someone who is experiencing success or something new is happening, we cut down those tall poppies because we know where the roots are. We're familiar, and that breeds contempt, as the saying goes. The box that the people of Nazareth built for who Jesus was didn't account for him being a miraculous teacher, a miracle worker, an authoritative voice, a prophet. And it certainly didn't account for him being the Messiah, let alone the incarnate God among them. In verses 57 and 58 of this story, Jesus even says to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." Anyone who's speaking authoritatively, who's respected and honored by people for what they're saying, even they aren't respected because people know where they come from, because they're overly familiar with his upbringing. And we read in verse 58, "And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." See, when Jesus was in Nazareth, he was up against an obstacle he wasn't up against in other areas where he was teaching and performing signs and proclaiming the kingdom of God. See, when he was speaking in other places, people were accepting the message gladly a lot of times. That they didn't have these boxes that they had already built of who Jesus of Nazareth was that Jesus had to come up and rub up against when he was in Nazareth teaching his own people. Jesus, we read, because of this, chose not to perform many miracles. And it wasn't the kind of thing where like he had to warm up the crowd to a faith level where he was able to perform miracles. But Jesus isn't like a circus performer. He wasn't just going to perform these signs and miracles as a way of trying to win people over or to entertain them, to try to get them to believe that he's someone that they actually actually weren't willing to believe he was. And the question remains for us. What if our boxes that we've built are keeping us from the work that Jesus wants to do in and through us? What if my idea of Jesus as well, that's just the thing that my grandmother gets excited about, actually is keeping me from understanding Jesus in the fullness of who he is? It's keeping me from experiencing the new life that Jesus wants to give me because that's just my grandma's thing. Like, look at this box we have of Jesus. And maybe this is similar to your own, where there are ideas of who Jesus is and then there are other ideas outside that box that in your mind aren't who Jesus is. And so ideas like, Jesus wouldn't lead me to live outside of my comfort zone. That's outside of your box. And so the minute that you are being put outside of what's comfortable for you, that's not something that Jesus asks you to do. Or if there's a moment where you're confronted with that, no, that can't be Jesus. Or moments where we'd have to say that, well, Jesus wouldn't allow me to go through financial loss. He wants me to be happy and healthy and have everything together. But if that is outside of our Jesus box, then the minute that financial loss comes, the minute the economy turns down or we lose a job, we don't see that as something that Jesus might be using to shape us. And the same thing, if Jesus asked me to do something that others would call irresponsible, it can't be Jesus, because that's outside of my box. And that goes against conventional wisdom. The problem is each of these examples are explicit things that Jesus invites people into in the gospel narratives that we have of his life. This is part of who Jesus is and what he does and the kind of work he's inviting us to do. And often it's these things that we have outside of our box that Jesus wants to use the most in how he shapes us, in how he does the deep heart work, and in the miraculous work that he wants to do. What we need to do if we want our understanding of Jesus to be not this box that we've created over the years, but to genuinely be a clear picture of who Jesus is to let the words of Jesus break down those boxes we've put him in. Here's what I mean. Let's go back to the Facebook story I was talking about earlier. That this friend of ours that we've known back from high school, and we see this post of theirs online, we would not have the same shock response to their post if we had been in regular conversation with them. If we had heard their story and heard from their own mouth the journey that they've been on, the ups and downs, or the way that their life has taken this direction, so that now it makes sense. Like, oh yeah, they're very qualified for that job. Or, oh, no wonder they married that person. Or, wow, they would be a fantastic parent. To hear from their own voice who they are versus the box that I've built based on my knowledge of them from high school. It's the same with Jesus. We need to let the words of Jesus break down the boxes we've built and to shape who we understand him to be. Very practically, like, we have this beautiful treasury of the life of Jesus as recorded in the gospel narratives, written down by some of his closest friends that he traveled around with. The very words of Jesus recorded down in the things he taught, in the way he lived his life. And as we read the stories of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get an understanding of who he was, who he is in our lives now as the resurrected King. And let that shape who we understand Jesus to be, to let it confront the boxes that we've built and to reshape our understanding from his words. So very practically, I'm going to take this in hand during the month of June. It starts tomorrow. Every day for the month of June, I am going to work through a chapter from the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to invite you to join me in it, to let the words and life of Jesus shape my understanding of who he is so that I would know him more. And I mean, a chapter a day is not hard, but it helps to recenter us on who he actually is versus all the influences out there. I mean, there are so many ways that people are trying to tell you who Jesus was, that he aligned with this crowd, that he would have supported this today. There's so many Facebook posts of different groups trying to claim Jesus as their own and saying this is what he would be for. Why don't we take the next month together and look at the words of Jesus himself and let him shape our understanding of who he is, of what he did, what that means for us, so that we can let his message hit us deeply, to not let the walls of the boxes that we've built keep out the work that he wants to do, and that we can be in a spot in our hearts to respond in faith and living out in response to him. I want to close off with the words from Paul in Ephesians 3. He says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."